Blog Talk Radio.
All right, praise the Lord. This is the Prophetic Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show, Self-Expressions. And I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. And welcome tonight for tonight's episode, which is 1036. We thank you so much for joining us, no matter where you're calling, whether you're calling via phone or listening online. We thank you so much for joining us this evening. And tonight, real quickly, tonight's topic is, why should I study the Bible? And, you know, when I came up with this topic, it was something that I really wanted to talk to you guys about, because a lot of people just forget about they think the Bible is old and antiquated. You know, the Bible is such a very interesting, it's a very interesting read. It's a very interesting series of testimonies. And, you know, as we read the Bible, some of us read it many times over. As we read the Bible, we discover something, or we have a new understanding or a different understanding of what we initially go over. And a lot of times when we initially go over, we see it in different light, different ways. And let me bring you up to speed with something interesting that is going on. And later on in the program, after the call of salvation, I'll go ahead into details. And I've had a guitar for quite a while, and I've been playing around with that, and I've made a Christmas album, and I'll give you the details how you can listen to that new music that I've come up with. And it's basically a Christmas album. And like I said, once we go on pretty far down in the program, after the call of salvation, I'll go ahead and give you more details. It's a 10-song album. And like I said, it's a Christmas album. And just hope, you know, once we get a chance to go deeply into the Christmas album that I created, we enjoy it. And with that being said, we'll go ahead with our program. And if you're online, you want to call into the program at any time, you can dial in 319-527-6091. Or you can use our alternate number, which is 323-870-4174. All right. And just getting back into my topic about why should I study the Bible. Now, so as I was saying, there's so many different ways that, you know, or understandings you can get out of the Bible. For instance, there's many first, you know, if you want to put some things together, you know, you can go on there and you can say, where is the first tennis match mentioned in the Bible? And you can say it's when Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. You can also say which character in the Bible has no parents. And you can also come up with that answer, which is Joshua, son of Nun. And you can all, you know, you can go so on and so forth. So there's a lot of different ways you can read the Bible and look at the Bible. And, it is really interesting. It's not an old antiquated book that's, you know, something that doesn't pertain for right now today and what's going on now. And a lot of the message that I'm going to bring to you today is going to be coming from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And once again, it's going to be Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And basically, going over Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And basically, we're just going to go ahead and Okay, so Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. So basically, you know, the Bible is alive and it's very effective. And if we go over for, you know, the first couple of verses, for the word of God is living and effective. And that is one of the reasons that you would basically, you know, read the Bible. And as you read the Bible more and more, you're going to hear and read more active words that's in the Bible Basically, what I'm saying is that when I say active words, I'm saying it's going to be words that touches your soul. The Bible is alive. The Bible is not just words that are written. And, you know, and that verse 4, you know, it begins with, you know, the word for which, you know, in this verse, it pretty much pertains to the Hebrew people. You know, the chapter speaks of entering into God's rest, and we are taught that many, you know, did not enter into the promised land because of, you know, disobedience to God's words. And the rest of the chapter lays out the case that the Christians has, you know, a future in store for them, and it's basically them being disobedient in God's word. And we can go back to chapter 3 of Hebrews. And basically in Hebrews chapter 3, there's basically a reference where you can go back to Psalms 94 verses 7 and 11, where it speaks of God's rest. Now, it also, you can go back to Psalms 95, and pretty much both verses in Psalms, you know, pertains pretty much what we go on and what we do today. And, you know, I'm going to let you know, I study the Bible to know that God and his truth. And I find direction from, you know, for my daily life. You know, I study the Bible for many of the same reasons, which is connected to the same reasons why I pray. And, you know, getting into prayer could be another, you know, another show. But, you know, the reasons are connected. You know, they're intertwined, they're connected. The same reasons why I study the Bible and the same reasons why I pray are the same reasons. And basically, it's I believe, you know, and basically I want to read the alive, effective, active words that's in the Bible. And, you know, excuse me. Now, basically, I want to just make this one fact that's known about the Bible. And the Bible was originally written in Greek. And the reason why a lot of people don't trust the writings of the Greeks were because a lot of the philosophers, a lot of the writers, they used to be Roman. And we all know that the Roman Empire, they don't tolerate a lot of things that was in, you know, the realm of what they govern. A lot of philosophers and poets and professors and teachers were killed under Roman rule. So they fled to Greece, where they had the freedom. Romans were known to kill philosophers or anybody that had any thought other than the Roman Empire. So in Greece, where all the philosophers, poets, and writers, they had a nice haven where they could gather. And that's where, you know, some of the original versions of the Bible were written, which was in Greece. Greece was at war with Rome. And one of the things that the Greeks said was that, you know, whoever got a chance to write the history was the true winner of the war. So by that, by that being said, and not trusting the Greeks, which is, kind of sad, because the actual, true culprit was, as we say, as we see right now, as history is unfolding, is at the Vatican, which sits in the heart of Rome. With the Vatican, and they had, they claimed to have all the verses of the Bible, Torah, Quran, and any religious artifact. They claim to have the oldest in either the first or one of the first original writings or original version in its original hand, which, which is not true. Actually, the Greeks have the oldest Bible written, and not the Vatican, which, they have the world to which to be true. And so, as the Bible were, as many nations were coming up and being raised, especially, in the later years after the Bible was written, and we're talking about 17th, 18th, 19th century, where the Bible needed to be translated into different words. Now, as I told you before, this was after the Roman Empire crumbled and they needed translators. Well, the Vatican was the first ones to actually set out translators to actually translate the Bible into different languages. Even though the Greeks had the most of the original versions of the Bible, but they did not have different translators. Now, the problem with Greece was that once the Roman Empire crumbled, the philosophers and the writers, they had freedom to travel about the world where they weren't persecuted, they weren't killed, because the traditional empires didn't hold up the way they did after Rome had fallen. So the Greek writings, or the translations, should I say, of the Bible are not trusted by many because they feel as though they're not the original versions. And henceforth, we have, so many different versions of the Bible. And a lot of scholars and professors and theologians, they prefer the Greek translation of the Bible. I forget what the actual Bible is called right now today, but the reason why there's a distrust with the Greek version of the translation is because they think that they don't have the original transcript of the Bible, which was has been a problem right now today. Right now today, a lot of people would like to refer to the King James Version, which is, in my opinion, the King James Version may be of all the versions of the Bible in some way untrustworthy because of the nature of King James and the way he operated the what we call the British Empire, which attempted to emulate the Roman Empire of conquest. And the reason why I would say that because the British Empire or British hierarchy, they had a way of pressing Christianity. Kings before James, like Rich and the Lionheart, he tried to press Christianity into the Muslim countries, and hence the start of the Great Crusades. And at the start of the Great Crusades, one of the things were was that if they're not gonna, we have the manifest destiny, God has mandated, which we know is not true, mandated them to spread Christianity, even if these foreign lands had, studied different religions for thousands of years. They were hard pressed to convert, if not convert, kill. So, the King James Version of the Bible, and one of the things that King James did, if he could not conquest a land, he would have thousands and thousands of Bibles laid about in the towns. Every literature that was there was burnt and thrown away or destroyed, and left in the wake was the Holy Bible. And that was, what happened with King Richard the Lionheart and how he had tried to spread Christianity. Now, King James, on the other hand, he believed in the Bible, but he didn't practice it. And what he would do is when he would go to you know, prayer, or he would go to church, basically, he would have the pastors for each and every one of his sin, not to mention those. So, yes. The name of the actual name of the Greek Bible is the Septuagint. I just mangled that word, but that is the name of the actual Greek version of the Bible is Septuagint, and I believe that is pronounced Septuagint. I'll stop right there. But that's how it's spelled, and that's the name of the Greek version of the Bible. And I was going to get back to what King James did and how he would change the actual services, where he would actually make sure whatever sin that he was committing would not be mentioned. And, you know, as all kings, you know, most kings could not, you know, find themselves, you know, content with, you know, their wife. And so most kings were adulterers. So he would, any kind of sermon or Bible lesson, anything mentioning adultery was stricken from their sermons. And if he thought that there was a religious, you know, priest that was, you know, preaching something that was against his lifestyle, he would actually have him put to death. Because not only he did not want to sit on a sermon or anything, he didn't want anybody to hear. Or thinking, you know, sometimes you sit in church and you hear, you know, a pastor or minister, you know, speaking, and you're thinking they're talking right, you know, right directly about you. And I think, you know, he probably heard a couple of sermons like that, and he probably thought, like, this guy's trying to be smart. And, you know, he would go ahead and see, you know, see about him being put to death. And one of the things about, you know, King James was that he would secretly have executions, and those were against, you know, minor dukes and you know, people of that title that he thought that was going to undermine his, you know, his power there in England at that time. So, you know, of all the versions of the Bible, I would believe if there was anything that was twisted or incorrect or not properly worded, it would be the King James version of, you know, that's of the Bibles. And, you know, getting back to, I want to just go for, you know, recite as an example what Stephen was, you know, basically going over. And that's going to be in Acts 7, verses 38. And basically, Stephen was reciting Israel, you know, the history, you know, in the desert. It says that Moses at Mount Sinai received living words. And basically, like I said, how the Bible is, and the Bible is basically true living action. You know, he referred to as Moses receiving living words. And we can also go into 1 Peter verses 1 and 23. And Peter tells the recipient of the first apostle that they have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. So basically, throughout time, you know, the Bible is very active, very vibrant. It's pretty much, in another sense, it's pretty much active. It's still effective and powerful. You know, and the original Greek uses a word for which, you know, we have derived from the term of energy. You know, God's word then is energizing in its own effect, basically. And, you know, within the translations that the Greeks had made, you know, it basically is stating, when you translate it, it's basically stating that no one can escape living, the living and active words of the Bible. And a lot of people, when it comes to to trust on one's word, it's kind of hard. But when we read it, when we read it, that's when it becomes effective as far as what the knowledge of someone is passed on to us until what we actually read. So we actually get a chance to actually validate, you know, some of what someone else is, like, say, a sermon, once we read it on our own. You know, when, when a pastor or minister, they read a sermon, and you hear how if you were reading, you would read it straight through, and you hear a pastor or a minister, when they get to certain words, and it becomes vibrant, it becomes active, how it jumps out, and we are reading it, and as he's preaching a sermon, and he's reading from the word, from basically, it's basically, you'll feel the vibrant energy, the living words from his sermon as he reads it. But that's not, is that the way you read it? The certain words are active. So the Bible, as we read, which is as in God's, his active words to us. Now, I'll just use this example. If you were serving, let's say, snacks to someone, and you had a variety of snacks, and you notice out of the snacks you had cupcakes, cookies, and what have you not, and you notice that the majority of people are eating cupcakes. Now, when that reserve of cupcakes is running low and you have a tray full of cookies mostly, would you continue on adding cookies to the tray as the cupcakes are getting eaten? Or are you going to bring out more cupcakes and less cookies? And that's where, you know, as we study the Bible, you know, and a lot of people like to divide it up in Old and New Testament. And when people get into the verses of why should we continue to read the Old Testament, and should we be listening more of reading more of the New Testament, where it's a more vibrant, well, it seems like it's more active into the life of Christ. But what is basically the New Testament is basically living testimonies of mainly Mark, Peter, Luke, and a little of the other apostles. And you know, then we have at the end we have Revelations. So, you know, as we read and we study the Bible, you know, within the base, you know, basically what I found with me is that I read certain chapters as my life starts progressing, as things start, you know, the words are actually more meaningful in certain chapters in the Bible than some were, or some may not seem to pertain to me right now. So, and I encourage everyone to read the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, because a lot of times we do learn from past mistakes, and it doesn't have to be our own. You know, above all, you know, we know that, you know, Moses, and, you know, he led the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. And as we discover later on, when they finally get to the Promised Land, we found out that the Promised Land, if they actually took a direct route, would only be about, you know, probably a month's journey. And so basically they had to wander around in circles and circles in the wilderness. And, you know, basically why would that happen? Because these were not prepared people. Even though Moses was a great leader, he had flaws. And God knew that the people simply wasn't ready. You know, when we're not ready and we're not prepared for some things, and basically one of the things, the best way we can do that is by reading the Bible. You know, and let me just, you know, explain, like, where I read a lot of books, and basically it's about some faith-based books, history books, and biographies. You know, I read the biographies of baseball and football players, and also of presidents and historical figures. And the one of the last books I was reading was about Ben Franklin. And all the books I've read, you know, they're basically good books, but none of them except the Bible has changed my life. You know, none of them are alive and effective as the Bible is. You know, God works in us. You know, God works through the Holy Spirit. And the message of the Bible is living and active. There is no dead, dry, dusty. It's not an antique. It's basically living. Like living in God's word. You know, we're living in God's word as we read it. You know, the Bible is not a collection of religious writings from, you know, the ancient past, but it's basically a book that speaks to all people everywhere and just about any place they are in the world. The Bible basically demands, you know, a response from once you read God's living word. So basically, you know, the Bible, it's alive, and it's basically it is there to change your life at any point in your life where you, if you need instruction, if you need encouragement, you know. And the one thing, you know, God can't stand is disobedience. So we're going to go to, I believe we're going to go to, let me make sure. Okay, so I'm going to just go back into the reference of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12. You know, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword. Now, basically the Bible penetrates the depths of our soul and spirit. You know, the sword that is mostly widely, is like in the ancient time, was the most widely used weapon, basically, and it was double-bladed, and it was very sharp. So, you know, the way it is worded is that with a double-edged sword, you know, it also is used as a weapon, but it could also hurt you if you're not careful, if you're not marked, you know, like well-crafted in wielding the sword. So just like the sword, you know, it's like the words in the Bible. If you're not practicing it right, and the reason why I'm going to put that reference to the double-edged sword, because a lot of people, when they tend to find an argument, and they say, "Well, I've read this in the Bible," and sometimes you may have read something, or you may have read enough to satisfy what you were looking to hear or you're looking to read. And in different instances, well, if you read further, it's referencing back to the same words that you read or you want to use in the context of your argument or the point of what you were going to make. But if you read further, you'll find that what you were trying to, your main argument or the main point that you were making, actually, it didn't actually say exactly what you were actually were meaning to say. So that's why we need to read, and we have to make sure. And this is one of the main reasons why we should read the Bible. I mean, our enemy knows the Bible in and out. And, you know, you don't have to, I'm not saying you're not going to make it to heaven if you don't know the Bible in and out, or if you don't know all the verses, or, you know, or the right scripture for, you know, to mention in the right time. You know, that's by no means, that's the same by you being, you know, someone that has failed English, you know, in high school and has not grasped the whole meaning of English, which I had trouble with in high school, where I had trouble. I had to have, you know, a lot of tutors and a lot of help, you know, keeping up with just my grades, just to have passing grades in English. So, you know, yes, you know, not only should we, you know, we should study the Bible, we should also, you know, write notes, take notes. And a lot of times we can, when we get a chance to go to church, I know there are a lot of churches that may open, they may have noonday prayers every day, or they may have Bible study. That's the time for you to, you know, to ask your questions, or if you have, if you covered a verse or a scripture and think you may need better instruction and learn the meaning of it, or if you just simply didn't understand, that is one of the best times to mention. Because don't forget, you know, in biblical times, you know, the priests, the rabbis, the ministers, they were referred to as being not, you know, as far as priests and ministers, they were referred to as teachers because they were teaching the word of Christ. They were teaching the words and the writings of the Bible. And most of the times when they were referred to as teachers, they were teaching because they knew that Christ was coming. They didn't win, but they did know that, you know, he's going to set about a whole change. And so they were referred to as teachers. So yes, in Bible study, look at it in a way of, you know, you're going to school, you're going to learn. And that's basically what Bible study is, you know, is about. You know, a lot of people picture Bible study being something for children to learn. But as we all know, as we're adults, and, you know, there's some things that we learned like many years ago, and we may simply need like sort of a refresher course or something to just brush up on something that we knew before or something that we knew a long time ago. But it's been a long time ago and we haven't touched on it before, so we might as well just brush up on it again. So Bible study is not, you know, just for children, if anyone out there had that notion. The Bible studies that, you know, I attended as a child, they were basically an introduction to the Bible and to Christ. So, yes, it's a little different, but, you know, like I said, as, you know, I noticed that I was progressing and I was going to church and the Bible studies, the Bible studies got a little bit more, instead of get to know the word type of thing, until it was more an interactive thing where I was asked, you know, active questions. So Bible study is a great way to actually help yourself, where you get a better understanding, better knowledge, where that's where you ask the questions. That's where you can go ahead and you can gain better knowledge of the Bible, is that Bible study. And I know most services, they usually have Bible study before the actual service starts. And I know the first thing that you want to, you know, put in a notion is that, you know, the time constraint. Well, I'll be in church all day. But if you look at it this way, you know, God did make, you know, he made the days. He made 7 days a week. He created the Sabbath for us. He created 24 hours in a day. And if you can't, even if you're in church 4 or 8 hours, that's just a fraction of the time that he created for us to have as far as the whole 7 days. The seventh day, or the Sabbath, is supposed to be where we create our, you know, we spend our time for worship from sundown to sundown, where we are spending time worshiping the Creator, which we don't. And, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, in life that we can do, but it's just simply impossible the way the world has, you know, set things in place. But, you know, if you look at going to church and you look at being a constrained of time, you know, my suggestion is you shouldn't go there because you're going there for the wrong reasons. I mean, I know that there's times that we are in church. And, you know, the pastor is, you know, he's speaking and you're thinking his sermon should be wrapped up. And then you're looking at your clock and you're looking and you're like, man, pastor, come on. Golden Corral opens up in 10 minutes. You know, even though that's the mindset that, you know, we don't want to have. And even though it's not something to walk out in the service, but to have that thought, you know, it actually progresses into something different. You know, and then once you're thinking about, you know, eating, you know, some people can be thinking about football games. You know, that happens, but we have to make sure that we maximize the same thing, like the church, the sanctuary. We have to maximize, you know, when we walk in there. We want to make sure we walk with something. We don't want to just go there just to see who's wearing what, who's coming, who's showing up, you know, or hear the latest gossip. You know, that should be furthest from our mind. We have to make sure that when we're in a sanctuary, and most, you know, most importantly of all, that we get something out of the sermon. Because there is always, you know, at least we have that pastor or that minister giving us or sending us a message for us to receive. And there's been many times I went to church and came home, and maybe not that day, maybe a couple hours later, that message sunk into me. So, you know, like I said, it's make sure we get something out of when we, you know, we walk into the sanctuary. You know, when we, like I said, we have to, there's so many different things. I mean, you have an iPhone or a Galaxy phone, and you constantly get the maximum out of that. That's the same thing you should be doing with the Bible. And it's the same reason why, you know, I ask myself, why should I be studying the Bible? Why should I? I've known most of the words in there. One of the things that I learned when I was, you know, going through school, whether it was middle grade, middle school or high school, I learned that the more that you go over something, like you would have pop quizzes and then we would have actual tests. And I learned that it was easier if I constantly read, learn, and prepare. It was easier if I prepared throughout that week. And even if I did get a pop quiz on a Tuesday or Thursday, by Friday, by the time come, once the test came out, I was fully prepared. I was ready. I was, you know, and it may be one or two things that I probably struggled. I didn't grasp it as well as the others, but there was never a time where I felt as though I was pressured or that I was unprepared. And that's the thing. You know, the same question I'm asking you right now, why should I study the Bible? It's the same thing as, you know, people that you know, people that you interact, people at work, people on the block where you live at, people you meet in the grocery store, people at the nail salon, they're going to ask you, why should I go to church? Why should I read the Bible? And even though there is that one time where you hear people say things, you was like, you know, you're probably thinking, oh, that's nonsense. I shouldn't even respond to them. Those are the people that's on the fence, actually. Those are the people that you should respond to. Those are the people that you should just let them know, as I'm explaining here tonight, that the Bible is a living word. It is a living, breathing word. The Bible is active. The Bible, as you start reading it, will become active in your life. It is active. The Bible is not a thing. It's a verb, basically. It's basically equals action. The Bible basically equals action. It's action, and once you start reading it, it's action in your life. Now, let me see. I want to go over one scripture real quick, and then we'll probably move on to the call of salvation. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Excuse me. Explaining spiritual things to spiritual people, but the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolish to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. And it goes to my point where I was saying as far as when we get the people that's on the fence, basically unbelievers, but truly not understanding how can they, you know, cross over and accept Christ in their life. And a lot of people, younger people I noticed, they're looking for some new age, new wave, some new way of you know, reading the Bible. And the best way to find out that new way is to bring it and read it over them. You know, any young person, I suggest that they start off with Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is a very effective chapter in the Bible. And that's what I would usually refer to younger people that are asking, I want to say, questions that are stupid, or questions that, you know, really it's hard for me to describe, but I just refer to them to Proverbs. And this is the First Corinthians, and the reason why I want to also bring that up is that was like one of the verses I read that made me start paying attention. And it actually started changing me, because as I read that scripture, it's pretty much simple. It was like, oh, okay, wow, oh, okay, that's why that happens. And it's basically saying, like they say, game recognizes game. Well, Christians recognize Christians, and they know when someone is foolishly, you know, just talking and taking up their time. You know, I had a family member. I was either his dad that would say that, you know, would constantly say that, you know, the Bible is altered, and the words in the Bible were just set. And he continued to say all kinds of nonsense from time to time. Like I said, God changes people, he moves people, and sometimes he needs that fool. He needs that fool to actually show, you know, how foolish that we become sometimes when we have, you know, every excuse not to listen and read through in his word. Okay, and I'm just going to go ahead and stop right there on that subject right there, and then we're going to go ahead and do the call of salvation, and I'm going to give the announcements, and then after that we're going to resume tonight's program. And the call of salvation is pretty simple. You know, when we are basically, you know, we have to be that adaptable sponge at the right time. You know, when I was a child, there was a saying to be seen and not heard. But there are times when we just actually just need to be this sit still and be that sponge, where we're just in that state of absorbing, you know, knowledge, where we're absorbing, you know, the knowledge that helps us, and we'll have a greater understanding if we sit there and we just absorb things and we just learn, we progress. And as, you know, as we start progressing, you want to continue to progress. But as you know, like, you know, we have people that just want to stop. But one of the things that you can do is you can start, you know, that by introducing yourself to Christ and starting that, where you get that progression, where you get to be that sponge, where you get to absorb and learn more about Christ. And the first way you can do that is by inviting Christ in your life. You know, one of the things you can do, and the best way you can do things, is you can just let them know that he is, that you accept his gift of his son sacrificing himself on the cross at Calvary for our sins. You know, once you've done that, you know, you're in the right direction. You know, we appreciate, you know, the steps that it takes. It's hard for, you know, one to, you know, turn your life over in Christ, because basically it's, you're turning your back on sin, and that you're moving forward, that you're casting aside, you know, some of the things that we did and we know is not Christ-like. Because for Christ, he sacrificed everything. So, with something given, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, if he sacrificed his son, you know, for us, then, you know, we have to give up the sacrifice. We have to give up, you know, our sinning ways, you know. And, you know, next thing you should do is you should tell a friend, you know, give him a call. you know, tell them, text them, or just basically let someone know that you turned your life over in Christ. And the next step we hope you do is you find a Bible-believing teaching sanctuary that nurture you in the Word of Christ. And if you can't find that nurturing church, that's why we broadcast almost every night here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we broadcast almost every night that we're able to. And we hope one of our many ministries that we have here is something that could help you out as you have your endeavor here and as you stretch your knowledge in Christ. So we thank you so much for doing so. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, or you can send a prayer request. And we also have Instagram and Twitter. We're purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. We're on Facebook, where you can just like us and follow some of our upcoming shows. You'll see our advertisements there. And so you can simply like us there on Facebook, and you'll get a lot of the information here on some of our upcoming programs. Like I said, there's a lot of advertisements there. Feel free to enjoy those. Also, if you want to download another episode, you can go to, if you have any Android phone, you can go to Google Play, and you can like us there. And you can hear the podcast. And if you have an iPhone, there's a purple icon. You can just click on there. You can like us there. And that way you can follow our show. And I'm not sure what we have up tomorrow evening, but we do have a show scheduled for broadcast tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. I believe we have Peripheral Visions with Antonia Batts at 9 p.m. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and we're just going to go ahead and do. Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget, we started our morning walk of prayer on Anchor.com, or you can go to Anchor FM, so that way you can follow our morning word of inspiration on Anchor.com or Anchor FM. All right, with that being said, we're just going to go back into tonight's topic, which is why should I study the Bible? And, like I said, basically when you start to read the Bible exposes the heart, basically. When we spend time in the Bible, the idea of the heart comes, to surface, basically. This is another way in which the Bible is alive and active. The Word of God is speaking through the written word, passing, and basically it's passing one's thoughts and one's motive. It is basically once you pick it up and you learn things and as it starts intertwining with things that pertain to your life, it's basically irresistible, really, to put down, because you want to actually know what else does the Bible have, and as far as then effectively, incorporate itself, well, as my life starts incorporating, and we just basically need the Bible, and basically the Bible, it let us see things in ourselves that are otherwise basically hidden from our own eyes. The Bible basically pronounces, basically it actually whispers the secret thoughts that we thought we knew or what we didn't know. It's basically exactly what it is. It's basically God's generated living word for you to help incorporate in your life, no matter at what time and what point you are in your life. It's there, and it's also there as, as we go to church and we hear someone's testimony, it is just basically you ever read a self-help book or whatever, it should, say something like Learn the Word of God for Dummies, something like that. That would be what I would call it, because when I first picked up a Bible, I had no prior knowledge of what I was reading. I was just, to me, I was just reading words until actually I started hearing sermons. And, finally, once I've I started reading, understanding what was happening, and one of the chapters I was reading was Job. And I, you know, of course, I incorrectly thought it said Job, but you know, what I'm seeing with Job was going through, I didn't understand, and even though I read the whole thing, I didn't understand at first why Job was going through so much torment and torture from the devil, and Christ was basically there and said, go ahead. I didn't understand that. And that goes on to the context of what I said when, you know, just because you're reading something, and basically I stopped because I couldn't understand the suffering that Job was going through and why he was going through it. And at that point, I stopped reading. And this is why I tell you where it's important as why you should read the Bible, because when I went to Bible study at one point, and this is when I was an adult, so this is many years, you know, in between me reading on, you know, on Job, and like I said, I just couldn't stand the torture and some of the things that he basically was going through, and you know, once I went to a Bible, like I said, basically it was a Bible study, and once I learned and realized what was actually going on, and this was, you know, being a Bible study that we were reading on the later parts of what I originally read, and it was how Job was tested, and you know, and God said, you know, go ahead, do what you want with him, but don't kill him. You know, that part initially, like I said, when I read, I didn't understand it, but now, as being in a Bible study atmosphere where we were reading on Job, I got the full understanding of the context of what happened and why it happened. And that's a lot of, and like I said, that's the reason why we should read the Bible. Or we should, you know, there are going to be parts of the Bible, like I said, even though I was very young, I was well aware. When I read it, I just didn't like what I was reading. And I just couldn't understand at that point. But as we have, you know, people helping us, as we learn, you know, we learn together sometimes. Sometimes it takes, you know, more than just, you know, looking at something that you didn't like, didn't agree with, or you didn't like how something was going down, and that you just discontinue something until finally, you know, you're made aware that what you thought was going on or what you thought was going down, and that's not what happened. You know, and then once you get a fully understanding, and like I said, it was many years in between, or I just didn't totally get the concept of the book of Job until when I finally did get an understanding. And I'm quite sure there's other books in the Bible that, you know, someone else can say, hey, you know, that's pretty much what happened with what I was going through as I was reading. I got, you know, discouraged of what was seemed to be, what was coming out to be the outcome. I just, you know, want to read it or something of that nature. And, you know, there's another chapter in the Bible that I avoided, and that was Revelations. And it was because I knew that was describing the end of everything, and how, you know, God is just going to just call, you know, call everything to a head, where everything runs amok, basically, and the seals are broken, and the horns are blown. And that was just something I didn't want to read. But as time goes on, even though it describes end times, you know, it's something that you should know. It's knowledge. You know, it's something that you should learn. It's something that's not meant to frighten you or for you to say, hey, you know, this is the end of time. And then that's something that you don't want to learn from in a movie where you think, you know, let's say that sounds like a good title for, you know, a movie, the end of time, or the final seal, or the final revelation, or the Kraken, or whatever it's going to, you know, somebody's in Hollywood is going to come up with. But you don't want to just have you know, that kind of understanding from you know, a movie where you think that you want to, you know, or a TV show for that matter. For, you know, some of these TV shows, they try to incorporate, you know, basically good and evil, God and the devil, and things of that nature. And even before you attempt to, you know, I'm not saying this is something you shouldn't look at or you shouldn't watch, but before you even think about that, you should basically have a basic knowledge of, you know, what actually is, you know, what actually is the effects of, you know, God versus the devil, or even for that matter, how it pertains in your life. Does it belong in your life? You know, and I'm not saying you should be, you know, a bully or just basically an instigator or just telling someone what they should or should not watch. But as, you know, as yourself being a Christian, you should know what you want to watch and what you don't want to watch, and what you know. And, you know, there's the internet also, just as well as TV. Everything has been has expanded as far as the exposure of a lot of different elements. And this is basically you just being aware of what you're comfortable with and, you know, what you know and what you don't know. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining me for tonight's episode, which is the 1036th episode. And let's see, one more point. So, you know, one of the things I want to go over as far as the Bible, and it's why should I study the Bible? Now, there's very interesting things going on in the universe. And like I said, as we're talking about media there, now one of the things that I suggest that you can do, which is easy, is there are so many different Bible, a lot of Bible content on the internet, and some of them are the audio books, which are read. Some of them are free, and some of them, you know, they cost like 99 cents. What you can do is you can set a time where that audio book is downloaded and read. And what I like to do is from time to time listen to, you know, a couple chapters or two of the Bible as I'm sleeping. And I know you say, well, you're sleeping. Well, the funny thing about sleeping is we do have a very conscious awareness of our surroundings, and one of the things is sound. Even though our eyes are closed, we are very, very much affected by sounds. And I do believe it depends on the situation, you know, even though sounds can create while we are in a dream state, you know, some nightmares. So that's just a suggestion as far as the Bible, you know, is concerned. Like I said, there are many different websites, and there are different audiobook clubs. And like I said, you can just pretty much sign up for it. Or even, I believe it's another website. I'll get those out to you once I get more information on them. Like I said, there's so many, too many to name. A lot of them are really great and excellent. Like I said, some of them are paid service. But you just choose which one you want. Like I said, you can just go ahead and get to learn the Bible through the audio readings. And I think that's something great to try out. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. I'd like to thank everyone. Thanks for listening, whether on phone or online. You know, can't wait to get back another 2 weeks from now. And what else can I say? It's been great hanging out with you tonight. And with that being said, I'm going to close it out. Have a great rest of the weekend. Those of us in Philadelphia, we do have a little cold snap, but it's going to get a little warmer. So, you know, in spring is just, you know, a good a good portion away from here. I know a lot of people don't follow baseball, but, you know, spring training, you know, that's pretty much around the corner. So we're going to see you when we see you. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Love one and love another. Love yourself most of all. With that being said, I'm out.